Victoria left this at my door. I found it this morning. So beautiful, I wanted to share it with you. God must have known. God must have known how we would need someone dear, some dear one close at hand, someone that we could count on, who would always understand, someone whose love would rise above our faults, our negligence, one who would know no sacrifice, expect no recompense. God must have known that other loves, though precious they might be, could never quite fulfill the special need of you and me. He must have known that sometimes, too, we'd need a gentle prod, a quiet, close reminder of the constant love of God. God must have known we'd need one love, steadfast above all others, a love more likened to his own, and that's why he made mothers. That was written by H.L. Marshall. And I wrote this several years ago, The Gift of Motherhood. The gift of motherhood is one of the most beautiful of all of God's blessings. How great a privilege it is for a mother to be able to hold her child in her arms, this precious part of God which he has formed out of his own substance. It is the benediction of the holy sacrament of marriage and the harvest of the love which brought it into being. How fulfilling it is to care for it, to weave dreams for its future, to guide and direct it in the highest way possible. It is not what she receives in return that is important to her. The joy to her is in the giving. It is her selfless love which fashions not only the destiny of the child, but the world in which it lives. The child acts also as the teacher. Through the experiences of life which it brings to her, she learns patience, understanding, and wisdom. Patience develops self-control and self-mastery. Understanding touches the heart and broadens the consciousness, while wisdom brings the knowledge of truth that each soul comes with its own destiny to fulfill and must be given that privilege. It is the hopes and the dreams, the sorrows and disappointments, the trials and tribulations, and the great joys of human motherhood which can finally bring the seeking soul enlightenment and to that moment of realization where she sees all as her own. Having attained this universal vision, still she remains the child and the servant of God, who alone is the blessed mother of us all. This is another article entitled Love that was written by Marjorie Coram. Love is the most powerful motivating force in the universe. It is deadly serious. There is no denying its power. No one can run away or hide from it. It is the reason for our being. It is the essence of life. It is the joy of existence. Anyone who has ever been in love knows the extremes of pain or pleasure it can bring. It can be calm and peaceful at times, or turbulent as the wildest ocean. It can be likened to the biblical quote in Genesis, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life." Love is the only force in the universe that man will never tame or conquer. No one can fight it or bend it to his will. It can either elevate or destroy. Love gives life its meaning. Without the love anyone can experience in life, there is bare existence. Those who cannot love exist as stagnant creatures, parasitic in nature. Only love can illumine the consciousness of man and allow him to grow in the sunlight of God's love. Only love can let man understand his Creator's universe and the workings of universal law and order. Love is the element that no man can summon or dictate. There is either love for something or someone, or there is not. No man can know when love will arise or whether it will be stillborn. Love, like life, which it engenders, is a growing thing. It generally begins with admiration, and grows from there into an overwhelming, powerful energy that lifts the soul of man to heights never dreamed of before. As a man continues to live and grow in his environment, and to experience the fullness of life, the fullness of love is also within his grasp. Each time love is born anew, It is greater in substance than it was before. Thus, each love replaces the love that has been. As we outgrow things in life that have enslaved or confused us in the past and put aside old habits and old ideas as being childish or unworthy, we also put aside old loves and affections that we once knew. As we grow and mature in a never-ending quest for reality, we grow and mature in love. When the seed of love has been planted, it must be nurtured in order to grow. If it is neglected or its growth is stunted, it can wither and die. The water of love must feed the earth for it to grow. If the earth is barren, it will die. The greater the love, the greater the need will be for the expression of that love. Some loves do not require the presence of the recipient. Other loves demand the nearness of the object of our affection. This longing to give creates a loneliness within the giver, if the receiver of the affection is not present. Where the giver and the receiver are present, the creator of life is there also. Who gives himself with his gift feeds three, himself, his hungry neighbor, and me. The giver of love always benefits much more than one who is merely a recipient, because love receives love in return from the creator who gives the abundance of life. One of the greatest expressions of love was given by Ruth in the Old Testament. Whither thou goest, I will go. Where the bond of unity exists, the fullness of time can be expressed in our lives. As the sea is restless until it meets the shore, the heart is restless until it finds a home. Thus the fullness of love and the fullness of time give full meaning to the joy of life and its only reality, love. Our Bible reading this morning is from Jeremiah. Pardon me. Chapter 31, beginning with verse 1. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the son, be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go to Zion unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child, together with a great company, shall return. And then from Exodus chapter 21, one verse, which is 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It is wonderful that man has come to set aside a special day of showing respect for both fathers and mothers. There's also a children's day. There's the grandmother's day, I found out not too long ago when my granddaughter-in-law sent me a card. It was the first one I'd ever received as a grandmother, and I was pleased and surprised to know that this was so. God is pure spirit. He existed before anything was known to be in existence. And then he created or expressed himself. And in doing so, he created the Father, he created himself as the Father, and he created himself as the Mother. God the Father represents spirit, and God the Mother represents nature. And God projected himself into the womb of nature and brought forth the child. So this is the true meaning of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And it is said that Jesus, the Son of Man, was born of the Holy Ghost. In the Hindu scriptures, it is said that Krishna, which also means the Christ, was born of Vishnu, the Holy Ghost, the Preserver. This description of the spiritual family coming down into humanity has been in existence since the beginning of time. In every great religion of the world, you will find expressed in their teachings the Divine Mother. You will find expressed in their teachings the Christ child held in the arms of the Divine Mother. And yet we think in the Christian world that we have a monopoly on this. It is not so, because there is proof of it. There is proof of it in writing. There is proof of it in tablets of stone, the pictures that have been drawn on walls and carved in stone, statues which have been made that existed far beyond the time of what we call Christianity. But I like to think of Christianity as being Christianity. I like to think of the Christ not only in the form of one person who lived 2,000 years ago, but as St. Paul said in Colossians, as the firstborn of every creature. So each and every individual has within himself or herself the aspect of God the Father, God the Mother, and God the Child. When you first hold your child in your arms, and it doesn't matter how many you have, each one is the most precious gift that God can give everyone. And if you are the kind of mother you should be, you are thrilled when you take that little bundle in your arm and you realize that that child is the expression of God's love and has been given to you to love you and to be loved. But you have a responsibility as both father and mother. You have a responsibility to raise that child to reach out and attain the highest destiny for which they were intended. And that is the realization of their oneness with God. You must not make them narrow. You must take them out of the orthodox. You must take them out of the limitations of some of the things that have been handed down through the generations. It is your responsibility to take them above all religion, because as I have said many times before, God made man and man made religion. And so in order to go beyond into the oneness of God, you must go beyond all religious beliefs, and you must have that experience within yourself. And the greatest experience that can come to every man, every woman. And in that experience, man also becomes a mother, because he brings forth the Christ child within himself. It speaks of it in Revelations when it speaks of the woman clothed with the sun. A woman clothed with the sun, and she is heavy with child. As I have told you many times, I had this tremendous experience in India where actually I was carrying the Christ child within myself. I felt huge. I felt the pain of birth, even to the point where I called or wrote Papa a note and told him he must come over and see me at 6:30 in the morning, that he must help me because I was in labor. It was an amazing thing. But it was necessary to bring forth the Christ child. My eldest daughter, Barbara, was pregnant when I was over there. And she was a whole month late in delivering her second child. But strangely enough, a whole month before she had that child, I went through the whole thing that she was to go through. I called out to her because I knew that she had left the body, that the experience was too great for her. And I pleaded with God. I begged him. And I spoke to her. And strangely enough, later on, when we discussed it, she told me that she had heard me calling her. You can imagine how she felt, not yet having had her child, when I wrote her a letter and congratulated her on her newborn son and told her the whole experience. It must have been very terrible for her to think that she still had all of that to go through. But she did go through it, and every word of it was just the same. I remember that I had the whole ashram in an uproar. I even felt the afterbirth pains the next day. And then I went to Madras. And a cablegram came at that time and told me that her son had been born, and that it was a boy. So when I got back to the ashram, I told Papa that I had received the cablegram telling me about the birth of my new grandson. And he said, yes, Ramdas knows. He said when the cablegram came, he couldn't wait to find out about it, so he opened it himself and read it. I really put him through it. So he wanted the reward of being the first one to know. I was very disturbed because I thought that I had lost her, that she, there might be the possibility when I found out that she still hadn't had the child that she would go through this and I would lose her. And I was in a room in Pondicherry at the Sri Aurobindo Ashram. And again, God gave me a tremendous experience. He lifted me up. And I was one with the Divine Mother. That was the second time that that had happened to me. But this time he said to me, about the same daughter, why do you worry? Where would she go to except back to yourself? And that was a sobering thought. It made me know that our children always and forever, and that we never lose them. Because in the final analysis, every mother that has the privilege, every woman that has the privilege of becoming a mother, is one with the Divine Mother. And even those who have not been granted that privilege, or yet it has not come to them, has that aspect of divinity within them. The mother aspect is one of love. No matter what the child says, thinks, or does to the mother, nor about the mother, still that love is there. It is all encompassing because it is a spark of the divine that has been placed in the human mother's heart, and she cannot get rid of it. Always it is there. Sometimes she cries because of what the child says or doesn't say or doesn't do. But still that love is there. It is like the mother that has just put a clean dress on the child. And the child wanders out and immediately gets into the mud, makes mud pies and has a beautiful time. But comes in and you don't even recognize your child. They're covered with mud from head to foot. So the mother will scold the child and maybe give it a little spank where it counts. But she takes the child in and she cleans it up. She washes his face, his hands, his body if necessary. Puts a clean dress on because the child looks so beautiful. She takes it in her arms and loves it. Some people are deprived from having children. And there's a reason for that. Everything happens karmically. But once in a while, God makes it possible for one person, because of the lack of ever having had any children, or because the children are no longer with them, to become mother to many. I remember years ago, and I may have told you this, I don't remember, but my brother-in-law took me to see a palmist. And he sat there and he looked at my hand, the left hand, I think it was, for a half an hour through one of these magnifying glasses. And I didn't think he was ever going to speak. And he told me many things. And he said I had the most intricate hand that he had ever seen in his life, but the lines in it was all of life. So at that time, I had, I don't know, two or three children, probably two. I don't think I'd had Billy yet. And I said to him, well, I have any more children. So he took another 10 minutes and studied my hand. And he finally said to me, Mother, if you were to have all of the children I see in your hand, you will indeed have a large family. The man knew what he was talking about because now people all over the world call me Mother. I'm sure that this must have been very difficult for my own children to share me, their mother, with everybody else who calls me mother, but they have been absolutely wonderful about it. And I give them full credit. But I have never neglected them, nor have they gotten anything less from me because of the fact that I am mother to many. Rather, it has enhanced my care for them, my love for them, my desire to be one with them, to have a relationship that is that very special thing between mother and daughter and mother and son. It is a tremendous thing to have that. Sometimes your heart aches. Sometimes you are filled with joy. But in everything that comes to you as a mother, it comes to you for the purpose of taking you ever closer to God. And you realize finally of your oneness with God and your oneness with all humanity. And that very act of childbearing, of having your child come into your life, of guiding them and directing them in the best way that you possibly can. Sure, we make mistakes. I can look back now and see some tremendous mistakes that I made in bringing up my children. But I did the best I could at the time that was in question. I couldn't have done one single thing more. And so I look at it now as the greatest growing experience in my life, more so than any other, because it gave me the knowledge of what true motherhood was. And I can extend that motherhood to every single one who comes to take them in my arms. I don't have time to see everybody on a personal basis the way they would like me to and the way that I would like to. But I do the best I can with the time that I have. But all of this is in preparation for making you reach out for God. Some people worship God as the Father. For myself, I have always done that. But many worship God as the Mother. My own guru did that. And I can hear him say, even today, the Mother is closer than the Father. And that's just the way his voice was. The Mother was closer than the Father. And he tells about his experiences with the various saints. And that he went to one saint who was constantly worshiping the Divine Mother. And he wanted to interrupt the saint. And the saint said, shh, I am worshiping my Divine Mother. So the master waited and waited. And finally he said to him, when the saint was ready to speak to him, will you ask the Divine Mother to come to me? And he said, we shall see, little sir. So that night, Master said he was meditating in the attic. And he said, he meditated and meditated, asking the Divine Mother to show herself to him. Finally, he said the experience was so great that it was absolutely indescribable, but still he tried to put it into words. He said the Divine Mother appeared to him in all of her wonder, her beauty, and her glory. And she said to him, always I have loved you. Always I will love you. And then she disappeared. The next day, he went back to the saint. And he said to the saint, because he was mischievous, did you pray to the Divine Mother to come and see me? He said, little sir, why are you saying this? Why do you need to say this when the Divine Mother came to you last evening and you had this tremendous experience with her? Why do you do that? So he hung his head, and then he acknowledged the fact that he had had this tremendous experience. I, too, have had this experience many, many years ago, 1954, when I was lifted up and became one with the Divine Mother. And it was the most tremendous experience that anybody could have. But it wasn't just peculiar to me, and it isn't. Each one of you, as you worship God in the form of the Divine Mother, can be lifted up into her arms of everlasting bliss. You can feel her great love for you. You can see the radiance of her presence, and you are filled with that radiance yourself. And I have told you before that when this experience came to me, I was in Kentucky, riding along in the car, and I got out because my husband had gone into a store. And I stood there with the fullness of this experience which God had just given me. And these two little blonde, curly-headed children came along, a boy and a girl. And they looked at me and looked at me. I can see it even now. And then they stood before me and looked at me. Then they backed away from me, hand in hand. And still, they were looking at me. But I was in such a state of bliss that I was helpless in it. And God said to me, because they have seen you at this moment, they shall be forever blessed. It was a tremendous experience. You come here to balance your natures. The man comes to find the Divine Mother within himself. The woman comes to find the Father God within herself. And marriage is the great miracle that puts this idea forth. Because from the marriage of a man and woman, the child comes forth. But also, It is a learning experience. It is a testing experience. It is given to you for growth, not for sense satisfaction, but that through your love for God and each other, that the man might one day come to see you and serve you as the Divine Mother. And the woman, the wife, may come to see her husband as God the Father and serve him in that way. This idea is put forth in India in all of life, the father, the mother, and the child. And it is held very, very sacred. You find very few divorces in India. And the parents choose the ones that each one is to marry. And always they bring astrology into it. They must have their astrological charts cast before they can get married to make sure that they are married at the most propitious moment. To us, this whole thing perhaps seems inconceivable because we want to choose our own mates. We want to feel that we are in love. And yet there are many, many happy marriages as a result of the way the system is put forth over there. And it is because of this fact that they have respect for God in one another, that they try to serve God in one another. And gradually the little petty things go away. I've had an overabundance of things come across the telephone and across my desk lately and face to face that have been very, very difficult to meet. And I have come to one conclusion, that the only solution to all of it is to keep your mind upon God, to keep His name upon your lips, and to give forth love for hate, love for scourging, love for anything that comes at you that is not pleasant. There's only one remedy, and that is love. If we react to every single thing that is thought about us, is said about us, is done to us, or about us, the world is going to continue to go on in its present state. There's going to be strife, and there's going to be war. Nation is going to fight nation. Brother is going to fight brother. There will be dissension between all of the peoples of the earth, and it will continue. So, as Harry Truman had this sign across his desk, the buck stops here. And I made up my mind that it stops right here with me. That from now on, no matter what I get, I'm going to give love. I'm going to try to overcome whatever immediate feeling I have, because some people have the feeling or the specific idea that when you're God, realize that you're devoid of all feeling. That you can be insulted, you can be spit upon, you can be talked about, you can be maligned, you can be crucified, you can be everything. But you're never supposed to feel anything because you're God realized. But on the other hand, when they need something from you, when they need comfort, when they need sympathy, when they need to talk about what somebody else has done to them or what their situation is like, you better darn well have every bit of feeling for them and understand exactly where they are. Because if you don't, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. So if each one of us here were to take this deep within our consciousness, within our hearts, and from this moment forward, keep the name of God in our hearts, in our minds, and upon our lips, and not gossip anymore about anybody, anything, no matter what comes to us, but rather give love for hate. Swami Ram Dass was a tremendous example of that, as was my own guru. They were very, very different. Master was very, very powerful. But he was powerful outwardly, inwardly. Ram Dass was very quiet, very childlike, very impersonal, but he exuded love. But it was an impersonal love. You couldn't get close to him like I was able to get close to my own guru the few times that I was with him. And there was a vast difference, and I couldn't accept Ram Dass in the same way that I could accept my own guru. But the time comes when you have gone over the top, where you have to break the form of the guru, because you're going from duality into the allness of God, if you will, or the nothingness, whatever you want to say. But something cannot come out of no thing. So God was, He is, and He always will be. These are absolute truths. So you transcend all of that. But if each and every one here to start to put these things into practice and give love for hate. And every time somebody says something about somebody, to just not take it within yourself, but to give them love and understanding. Because do you realize that's the reason the whole world is sick? Is because of this powerful instrument, the tongue, because of the reaction of the human ego to every little thing that happens to it. We grow in wisdom as we grow in age and experience, hopefully. And that's why we're put here, so that one day we will realize and reach out for our oneness with God, who expresses himself as the Father, the Mother, and the Child. And we will discover that we are all three because we will have attained that balance. Through the longing of the heart, we will be raised up into the ecstasy and bliss of his infinite presence and held in his arms forevermore. Now let's pray to him, O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother.
Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty, of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
May thy love shine forever.
May thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.
May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.
And bring them to thee.
And bring them to thee.
Oh.